Set your life on fire and seek those who fan your flames. The Philly translation of that is don't be hanging with no jank ass jokers that don't help you shine.
Hey, I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever, and welcome to another episode of A Role Model. You've come to the right place if you want to become a happier, healthier, and more successful person. Woo, today's episode is on fire. Will Smith steps by. I think Will Smith doesn't need an introduction anymore. Today he's talking about discipline and the power of having a purpose in life. He's also talking about failure and why you should seek failure. There is so much value in this episode. Hope you will enjoy it. I'm actually pretty sure that you will enjoy it. Before we start the episode, quick thank you to the sponsor of today's episode, Vivo Life. It's pretty much the best supplement company that I know. All my supplements are from Vivo Life. They're a super sustainable company. They have everything you need. Vitamin B12, vitamin D, vegan protein, omega-3, all the good stuff. Go try them out. You have nothing to lose because they also offer a 30 days money back guarantee. If you order supplements the next time, get them from Vivo Life. You will find a link in the podcast show notes. You can also get 10% off your first order by using the code SCHMONKEY, SCHMONKEY. You will find all details again in the show notes. Now, without further ado, here is Will Smith.
I believe that self-discipline is the definition of self-love, that when you say that you love yourself, that means that you have behavior towards yourself that is loving. It's like you say to yourself, hey man, look, I know you want to eat that pizza and it'll be really good, you know, but I can't let you eat that, man, because if you eat that pizza, you're going to feel like shit, you know, and I love you too much to let you eat that. And I think the word discipline has kind of gotten a bad name. We think about it in terms of punishment. I'm not talking about discipline in that way. I'm talking about discipline in the sense that you forego immediate pleasure for the exchange of long-term self-respect. Self-love is when you say to yourself, oh, man, look, I know you and that girl got a real connection. I know y'all vibe, but that's your girl's cousin. So I love you too much to let you do that. Self-love is, hey, look, I know you got a test on Monday, you know, and I know you really want to go out with your friends. It's Saturday night, you want to go out, but if you fail that test, you're not going to feel good about yourself. You know, I love you too much to let you go out tonight. Self-discipline is self-love. If you want to be happy, you have to love yourself, which means you have to discipline your behavior. The road to sustained happiness is through disciplining your behavior.
I just saw this Rumi quote that I love. Set your life on fire and seek those who fan your flames. The Philly translation of that is don't be hanging with no jank ass jokers that don't help you shine. The prerequisite for spending time with any person is that they nourish and inspire you. They feed your flame. There's been very few times in my life that I looked left or looked right and didn't find a person who believed and supported me. From Jazzy Jeff to Alfonso Ribeiro to Charlie Mack to Jada, like there's always been a person beside me fanning my flames. Look at your last 5 text messages. Are those people feeding your flames or dousing your fire? Put your phone down for just a second and look around. Look to the people around you. Are those people throwing logs on your fire or are they pissing on it? The people that you spend time with are gonna make or break your dreams. Everybody don't deserve to be around you. You gotta defend your light with your life. if you don't have a goal,
yeah,
you know, if you don't have a purpose for your relationship and pretty much anything, it's
yeah.
like if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a place that you're going, something that you want to accomplish, something you want to do,
right.
you can really get lost in the murk of the journey. But as an answer for why two spirits would join together and decide to travel this perilous journey of life together, fine, or you can cook, or you keep the house protected, that's really not enough. There's so much more that you have to be dedicated to. I was introduced by my mother and grandmother to Resurrection Baptist Church in West Philly, and it was really important to serve higher goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like all of the blessings that I have, you know, with my wife and my family and extended family, there's no way that God intended that just for acting. I'm energized every day by just what the possibilities are. In bringing the kids up now is like, oh my goodness, it's a whole new burst of energy and burst of possibilities of what we can do in this world as a family. My grandmother, she used to smile all the time. Gigi was yeah. just always happy.
Yeah.
And we were actually going into resurrection one day, and I was like, Gigi, how come you be smiling all the time? And she said, because I know what I'm here to do, baby. And I said, well, what's that? She said, I'm going to make everything I touch better.
I love this one. Fail early, fail often, fail forward. You know, it's always a little bit frustrating to me when people have a negative relationship with failure. Failure is a massive part of being able to be successful. You have to get comfortable with failure. You have to actually seek failure. Failure is where all of the lessons are. You know, when you go to the gym and you work out, you're actually seeking failure. You want to take your muscles to the point where you get to failure, because that's where the adaptation is. That's where growth is. Successful people fail a lot. They fail a whole lot more than they succeed, but they extract the lessons from the failure, and they use that the energy, and they use the wisdom to come around to the next phase of success. You gotta take a shot. You have to live at the edge of your capabilities. You gotta live where you're almost certain you're gonna fail. That's the reason for practice. Practice is controlled failure. You're getting to your limit, getting to your limit, getting to your limit. You can't lift that, you can't do that, until you get to the point that all of a sudden your body makes the adjustment, and then you can do it. Failure actually helps you to recognize the areas where you need to evolve. So fail early, fail often, fail forward.
For me, it's really basic. If you set your priorities, you start at the top, and every day you start at your first priority and you work your way down, and when it's time to go to sleep, you go to sleep and you don't worry about whatever you missed. And you wake up the next day and start at the top of your priorities again, and you just keep going till you don't have energy. And that to me, that works. It works very well, and I just have to make sure that I keep my priorities in order, because you don't want to slip and be dealing with number 8 on your priority list and you haven't dealt with number 3 yet. In my mind, I just refuse to allow myself to concentrate on drawbacks. You have to learn how to fight and defend yourself from predators without letting your heart go dark. And that's an extremely difficult balance. But I wouldn't trade this life for anything. I love being me. The daily confrontation with fear has become a real practice for me since about three years ago. I went skydiving in Dubai, right? And skydiving is a really interesting confront with fear, right? So I gotta stand up. I gotta stand up. All right. So
All your friends, what happens? You go out, how you, I dropped my thing. Yeah. So what happens is you go out the night before and you, you know, you take a drink with your friends and somebody says, yeah, we should go skydiving tomorrow. And you go, yeah, we'll go skydiving tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. And you go, yeah. And everybody goes, yeah. Right? And you go home and you by yourself, you're like, Right? You're like, well, yeah, I mean, they was drunk too. Right, so maybe they not, maybe, I mean, we don't have to go. We don't have to do it. So then that night you're laying in your bed and you just keep, and you're terrified. You keep imagining over and over again jumping out of an airplane and you can't figure out why you would do that, right? And you're laying there and you have the worst night's sleep of your life, but you still have the hope that your friends were drunk, right? So you wake up the next day and you go, you know, down and you say where you were going to meet and everybody's there. You're like, oh, sh-. All right, cool. Right. So you get in the van and you don't know that your friends had the same night that you had because they're pretending like they didn't. They're like, yeah, man, my uncle's a Navy SEAL. And, you know, this is going to be great. I've been looking forward to this. And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And your stomach is terrible. You can't eat and everything, but you don't want to be the only punk who doesn't jump out of this airplane. So you get there and then you have the safety brief. And you're standing there, and the guys will tell you, well, if the chute doesn't open, what's going to happen is you're doing, what could happen? That the chute wouldn't open, right? So you do a thing, and what you do is your first jump, you're attached to a guy who is going, you know, he's going to walk you out. So you go, and you get there, and there's an airplane, and nobody's stopping. Everybody's still going. So you get onto the airplane, and you're sitting there, and you know, it's extra because you're sitting on some dude's lap, some stranger. He's sitting on his lap, and it's like, you know, you're trying to make small talk. Yeah, man. So you do, you be jumping with people all the time, huh? Right, you know. So, and then you just want to make sure, you know, you got kids, right? You got people you need to see, right? You just want to make sure he's serious, right? So you get in there, so everything's normal. So you fly and you go up to 14,000 feet, and you notice there's a light. It's red and it's yellow and green, right? So right now the light's red. So then you start thinking at some point the light's going to go green, but you don't know what's going to happen, right? And you wait and it goes yellow and the light goes green and somebody opens the door. And in that moment, you realize you've never been in a freaking airplane with the door open. Right? Terror. Oh, sorry. I'm spitting. I'm spitting. Oh, sorry. No, terror. Right? So you go and then, you know, if you were smart, you sat in the back so you don't go first, right? And then people start going out of the airplane. And you go, and the guy walks you up to the end of the thing, and you're standing, and your toes are on the edge, and you're looking out down to death. And they say, on three. And they say, one. Two, and he pushes you on two because people grab on three, right? Right? And you go, and you fall out of the airplane, and in 1 second, you realize that it's the most blissful experience of your life. You're flying, right? It doesn't feel like falling, right? It's like you actually are kind of held a little bit by the wind, and then you start falling, and there's zero fear. You realize that the point of maximum danger is the point of minimum fear. It's bliss. It's bliss, and you're flying, right? And you're doing that, and then 20 seconds, 25 seconds, 40 seconds, and you have enough time to just kind of be like, oh, that's that building. That's not like that one. Oh, you can see the ocean. Right? You start doing all of that. And the lesson for me was, why were you scared in your bed the night before? What do you need that fear for? Just don't go. Why are you scared in your bed 16 hours before you jump? Why are you scared in the car? Why could you not enjoy breakfast? What did you need? The fear is
Fear of what? You're nowhere even near the airplane. Everything up to the stepping out, there's actually no reason to be scared. It only just ruins your day. You don't have to jump. And then in that moment, all of a sudden, where you should be terrified is the most blissful experience of your life. And God placed the best things in life on the other side of terror.
God placed the best things in life on the other side of terror. What a beautiful quote, and what a beautiful way to end this podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, then please let me know on social media, Axel Schura on Instagram. Definitely come say hi. Also, leave a review for this podcast. Takes 10 and a half seconds. Helps me a lot to help more people. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, my friends.